Hey everybody, it's time for another visit with Barking Legs. My friend Bruce is here, Bruce Kaplan. It's the eve, past the eve now of a new year. It still feels like we're sort of on the cusp of it, you know.
Not absolutely.
Easy. I guess that's the way it is, isn't it? The first few weeks of a new year, just sort of
I'm still struggling to write that 2020.
Yeah, for some reason.
In fact, if anybody looks on our website and it says 2019, please let us know.
I've always been guilty of that, and for some reason this year I wasn't. I don't know what it is. I think the notion that we're in 2020.
Younger,
I only wish that we're in 2020. That made a big impression for some reason. I don't know. there are people saying, you know, this is going to be a watershed year. Who knows? Maybe that's true.
I'm not going to go there right now.
Well, it always has the potential to be a Barking Legs.
That's a nice segue. When the world is small, Barking Legs is big.
And tomorrow night, you have a visit with Alan Wyatt?
Yeah, we are delighted to have Alan Wyatt. Alan Wyatt, for those who are not familiar with him, is a saxophonist who is the head of the commercial music division up at Lee University, and commercial music is, to a large degree, jazz. Hmm. Alan is from the area. He studied jazz up at UTK. His mentor was Jerry Coker, one of the country's most esteemed jazz educators. And Alan, from what I gather, could have readily gone up to New York and very much been part of that world, but chose to come back home. And he has been on faculty at Lee for a long time.
And a mentor for a lot of young players, I think.
Oh my gosh, I think Alan has his hands in a lot of the best jazz musicians in the area, and a lot of what goes on in our series at Barking Legs every Wednesday night really owes a debt to Alan Wyatt and his program up at Lee.
Well, we have a recording of Alan. Do you know who's playing with him on this recording?
I believe this recording is a duet which features Alan's main musical foil, guitarist Sean Perkinson. And Sean is an absolutely amazing guitarist. Some people in the community will know him from a band that he was part of in the 90s that was popular called Kings of the Killerfish. I never heard the band. I was at that
Me either,
point.
But I know him by reputation.
Yeah, and Sean, from what I gather, was like a shredding guitar player at age 14 or so, winning contests, also went to UTK to study jazz. I spoke with, I took a couple lessons with the jazz guitar teacher from UTK, Mark Bowling, who's been there since the 80s. And a lot of guitar players have come through that program, and he regarded Sean as one of his top three students of all time. And Sean is an amazing player. He teaches on faculty at Lee as well.
Ah. And why don't we listen to this recording?
This is
Alan Wyatt with Sean Perkins.
Thank you.
Alan Wyatt, along with the guitarist Sean Perkinson, not Sean Perkins, as I rechristened him earlier, and they are going to be playing again, as they often do, at Barking Legs tomorrow evening.
It'll be with a quartet, also in the band, one of your favorites, David Schwab on bass, and Stephen Humphreys on drums. And they really do a beautiful job.
Well, you know, one of the striking things about that recording we just listened to is the absence of a rhythm section isn't immediately apparent. You know, those two just fit together so well, work so well together so well.
They have played in a variety of settings for years. I think they knew one another in high school in Cleveland, Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Alan's a couple years older than Sean. They have played a lot of duet gigs together, so their communication is really extraordinary. Both beautiful players.
Again, the other thing that struck me was the lyricism of the playing. That's the kind of stuff they tend to play as a quartet.
Standards. They're not an outside band, but they're not an old swing band either. They're solidly in the Miles Davis, Wayne Shorter sort of realm. I know Sean, for instance, loves Pat Metheny. And he loves the fusion stuff, but that's not what they're playing.
Mm.
It's straight ahead and really, really good. If I can share an anecdote, there was a pretty well-known New York saxophonist who came down to play a gig at Lee. During the course of his set, Alan Wyatt came out and joined him and played a tune with him. And the story that I was told was at the end of the evening, the New York saxophonist, who I shall not name, was driving very quietly in a car with Rusty Holloway, the great bass player from UTK who had set up the gig. And the quiet was broken when the New York saxophonist said to Rusty, "Who the blank was that guy?" Because to be honest, he was better than the New York guy. Alan is that good. I mean, he is as good as you're going to hear tenor and soprano saxophone played, in my opinion. And it's a real privilege to host them and a huge treat for anyone into jazz to get a chance to listen to these guys.
For a long time, New York was the place you pretty much had to go if you wanted to play music like that. In the last 5 years, anyway, seems like there's jazz coming from lots of parts of the country, certainly from Los Angeles. Kamasi Washington and everything that he's been doing in Los Angeles, for instance, you know.
And part of what's changed it, I believe, is the advent of jazz programs in universities, which have given some great musicians solid employment and also created a branch of mentorship that didn't exist before. I don't think Alan or Sean would still be in Cleveland were it not for the opportunity they have to teach at Lee University. And an even better example in some senses is Greg Tardy, who was a big-time New York saxophonist who in mid-career relocated to Knoxville because of a faculty post that was offered to him. And having those people in proximity is hugely impactful to those of us who love the music and listen and those who want to learn it. So it is a different world, not to mention the issues of the huge expenses of living in places like New York. But still, I mean, New York is still the best single place to go to hear live jazz.
And yet, not only those two schools, but also MTSU.
Correct.
And then there's a school in Nashville. A lot of musicians come from there.
And, where I grew up in Miami, Florida, Miami in many ways was a musical wasteland. Jerry Coker, the fellow who mentored Alan at UTK, was previously at University of Miami and built a jazz program which has continued to be one of the strongest in the country. And most people don't think of Miami as a jazz town. And in some ways it isn't, but the presence of that program has really been important for the musical community down there.
And then we have Barking Legs in Chattanooga, which offers them a place to come and play and work for an appreciative audience every week, which is pretty cool.
We know that the musicians who play in our Wednesday series love playing. They typically are willing to play for less money than they'd make with a restaurant gig or private party, but they can play full out. Mm-hmm. They're not having to cater to diners or conversationalists.
You can only imagine that must be somewhat dispiriting, no matter how it appears. The musicians don't ever show it, but it's got to be dispiriting to know that people at best only got half an ear on what you're doing.
But what Alan has referred to the evening, his monthly evening at Barking Legs, which is usually the first Wednesday of the month, he calls it a quality of life gig.
I can imagine.
That is exactly the term he has used repeatedly. Yeah.
That's a place for him to come and land and know that people will be receptive.
Those of you who are listening intently will recognize that this Wednesday is the second Wednesday of the month, not the first. The first Wednesday was on January 1st, and we didn't feel like it made sense to try to compete with the holiday. And Alan, who we thought was going to be out of the country, was still around and volunteered to fill in the second Wednesday of the month. This will be your last chance to hear him for quite a few months because he's taking a sabbatical and will be spending the vast bulk of the winter and spring in Poland.
Oh, really?
Where he has a connection with I believe it's a mixture of educational institution and a church, and has built a lot of good friendships over the year. So come on out and hear this great band last time before the summer that you'll be able to. It's only $5 suggested donation. Compare that to the cover charge at the Village Vanguard.
So what else you got coming up this month? I know it's probably a relatively slow month for you, huh?
We keep going with our Wednesday jazz. So next Wednesday will be Dexter Bell and his crew, which is always a blast. And then the Wednesday after that is a pianist who I think you've had on here named Eric Sanders, who will be debuting a trio. And then the last Wednesday of January, we have Given Arnold back leading a group that includes a exciting young singer who just relocated here from Boston to go along with some of the stuff we were talking about earlier. And that should be a fun evening. Also, Kosh Wright will be on piano with that group. Those are all in the lounge area. On the large stage, we have a band who I think you had in here before called Ultrafoe, a band that sort of takes the Django Reinhardt gypsy jazz tradition and tweaks it for modern times. And with them, in addition to the core trio, they have a really hot violinist named Jason Anik. And that's, I believe, on the 30th of January. We have Jack Wright coming back with a trio featuring Evan Lipson on bass, and that's on Sunday, January 26th. I'm skipping around time-wise as my memory sort of catapults backward and forward in time. And we're hoping LaDonna Smith, the viola player from Birmingham, will join in on that gig. And a big show. We're going to go a little beyond. We're going to go one day out of January because this deserves people hearing about it sooner rather than later. We're doing a benefit for Chef Neville Forsyth, very beloved man in this community, probably best known recently for being the creative force behind the Mrs. B's Reggae Cafe on Broad Street. And some people may not be aware that he died in a car accident a few months ago.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, my gosh, Richard. Sorry to be the bearer of very, very bad news.
Oh, that's terrible.
In this setting.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, he was, and because of the nature of the Jamaican foods that he prepared, which was his background, in addition to Culinary Institute of America background, he made a weekly trip to Atlanta to get ingredients, incredible fish and all manner of things. And it was on his ride back on a Monday night coming back from Atlanta that the car he and his wife were driving went out of control and flipped. His wife is okay, but he was he was dead on the scene. So his kids, he has three great kids now grown, and his widow are setting up a scholarship which is designed to aid young people who need some financial assistance to go to culinary school. And this is, I guess you could say, the kickoff event for the fundraising campaign that will result in an endowment for that scholarship. So that's going to be Saturday, February 1st at Barking Legs. We have a couple live bands. We'll have a DJ for dancing. Evan Lipson, who I mentioned earlier is a bass player, was also the bartender when Neville and Marilyn added a small tiki bar to Mrs. B's. And he is mixing what was Neville's favorite tiki drink, the Voodoo Rum Punch, and that will be available. And everybody's donating their services so that all the money generated will go to the scholarship fund. So nice. It'll be a fun evening and
a nice
way
to remember
an incredible figure. Were you ever at the Chef's Underground Cafe?
Oh yeah,
on
Cherry
Street.
Times. Yeah,
and that was where I met Neville in the early '90s, and it was a freewheeling restaurant, and often the Shaky Mary Levi Society would present amazing shows. One that stands out as being, for me, maybe the most extraordinary was the violinist Leroy Jenkins, who did a solo performance in this little little restaurant.
It was like a little basement restaurant.
Yeah, it was a basement restaurant. And
it was great.
It was an amazing place, and Neville is dear to the heart of many of us in Chattanooga, and I hope we'll get a good turnout in support of that event and in support of the scholarship fund in his name.
Well, I think that's one of the hallmarks of Barking Legs, is that in any given month, you're never sure what's going to happen. It's, as you were just describing Chef Neville's Cafe, it's freewheeling like that. And the only, as far as I can tell, your only consideration is that it be entertaining and that it be done with heart.
We try to do things that we feel good about in more ways than one, and typically things that wouldn't get done elsewhere.
I know it. I know it.
Or not done as appropriately elsewhere.
To close out the rest of this evening's program, this is from a performance of Barking Legs back in October. The first time the group that this man opened for, Upstate, came here, I'm not sure exactly where they played. I think they played a house concert, and they may
That's
have played
correct.
One other venue.
Yeah, with Christy Graves.
That's right. Christy was the promoter.
Yes.
But I can't think of a venue more appropriate to Upstate and the kind of stuff they do, which is, without wanting to belabor that metaphor, freewheeling and kind of mix of 40s-style vocals with a kind of bit like Ultrafo, really. It's kind of acoustic jazz kind of feel to it.
Yeah, they are definitely updating some traditions in American music.
Yeah.
And the three women were extraordinarily talented singers. I was really knocked out. But that's not what we're going to be listening to. We're going to be listening to...
No, but this guy opened for them. But the reason I brought it up is because Barking Legs And a number of people have commented on this, that there really isn't a fourth wall at Barking Legs, that the boundary between the stage and the audience doesn't really exist. And so for people like Upstate, it was ideal, I would think, for them, because they like to commune with the audience when they perform.
Oh, totally. By the end of the evening, they were wandering through the audience. The audience was on stage dancing, and I was up in the sound booth just dreading the possibility of feedback, which didn't happen, amazingly. So that show was actually a collaborative effort between Christy, who put it together, and Barking Legs, who hosted it. And we hope to do more with Christy in the future.
I've told Christy any number of times that she's brought so many people to town I didn't know anything about before they came here, and I was delighted to have heard them as a result of
I had never
Christy,
heard of them either.
Bringing them to town. And opening for them that night was a man who, like Mel, has moved here to Chattanooga. He's preternaturally talented, I think, guitar player. His name is Nicholas Edward Williams, and he played, I think, if we haven't played all of this, we've played part of this before, but I wanted to share it with you again, either on the assumption that you might not have heard it the first time, or that if you did hear it the first time, you'd be only too happy to listen to it again, because it's a really nice set played at Barking Legs in October of this year. And here's to another year of recordings from Barking Legs.
Here we go. In fact, now that we have this weekly forum, we're going to make a more systematic effort to document our shows. We're kind of trying to grab back through 20 years, and a lot that took place was not documented.
As it always is when you're doing something just for the love of it. It's not about, posterity or any of that.
And we have Chris Cantwell to thank for a lot of the documentation that has occurred, and we'll continue to work with Chris to try to get some of that stuff.
It's such beautiful recordings.
Yeah. He's working
so nicely done.
At a high-tech level. Some of the stuff we do is just turning on a Zoom microphone and hoping for the best. But that's in a way apropos, I think.
This is Nicholas Edward Williams. Always good to talk to you, Bruce.
How are we doing out there?
Always a pleasure, Richard. Thanks for having us on.
Well, I've been wanting to play this venue since I moved here a year ago. And I'm very pleased to be doing it with this super, super talented band that's playing after me tonight. I might even have some of them up here with me. This is a new song. This one's called The Good Parts, and it's about how sometimes you're just waiting for the next good thing to happen when stuff isn't going your way. Man, I'm tired of what I'm scared of, always looking for the means to end all of the things don't know won't go my way. Well, it's just slow catching up to the good parts. Hanging over me, dangling at the seams of our golden place. Yeah, I don't need to go anywhere. I got all that I need. Now it's just slow catching up to the good parts. Well, I'm tired of hearing words that get ahead of the curve. Time to write something real, write something we all can feel. Man, I'm tired of what I'm scared of. Always looking for the means to end all of the things I don't know won't go my way. Now it's just slow catching up to the good parts. So I belong to the YMCA here in town. Oh, yeah. Them YMCA lovers in town. And when we first moved here, we lived in Hickson. And we, you know, if you've gone to the YMCA in Hickson, it's very 55 and up friendly. There's nothing wrong with this, just stating the facts. And in the men's locker room, I've noticed that there's more mirrors than I was used to, which is a strange place to have a lot of mirrors. So, you know, I obviously, as a songwriter, you see things like this, and your mind just starts going down the rabbit hole of all the reasons why this is the thing, and also how people might perceive this sort of thing. So then it becomes a song, and this is called Too Many Mirrors. Essentially, we're just talking about how you can see yourself as a past version of yourself. You can see yourself in a future version. Maybe you see yourself in the present version. Maybe you see something totally different than other people see. It's just an observation song. Past, oh, the present me. Now, am I right with all of my flaws? Am I right with all of my flaws? My personal gambles and my withdrawals. Now there's too many mirrors. Oh, now who do I see? Too many mirrors. Oh, now who do I see? Am I looking at the past? Can see a fellow not as young as he thinks. I can see a fellow not as young as he thinks. Still diving head first just for a sip of a drink. Man, that's too many. Too many mirrors. Oh, now who do I see? Am I looking at the past or the present?
All right, y'all. Has anybody ever heard of Mississippi John Hurt? I'm so glad to hear that. Too many times I ask people that in an audience and I get crickets, and luckily I get to expose them to him, and hopefully when they go home, they look him up. And anybody here that doesn't know who he is, you need to do that when you get home as well. This song is a bit of an homage to him. He's my favorite guitar player and one of my favorite songwriters. And he just has this incredible story, and I don't have the time to explain it to you, but you should look that up as well. And this is a song that kind of goes through a lot of my favorite tunes of his and takes a little bit of the picking style that I learned from him. So this is called Mississippi John, because I'm clever. John, the song's still playing even when you're good and gone. The front porch picking under that southern sun. Let it roll, mama, I'm feeling fine and young. With that delta feel, hey, you make a woodman sing like a salty dog in heat. Now, Mississippi John, song still playing even when you're good and gone. Feel that front porch picking under that southern sun. Let it roll, mama, I'm feeling fine and young. On your floor, boogie woogie came, baby, long before rock and roll. And that boy John Henry, he's a hard-working soul. Yeah, that hammer in hand, when they died and passed on. Oh, oh, oh. Now Mississippi John, song still playing even when you're good and gone. Feel that front porch picking under that southern sun. Let it roll, mama, I'm feeling fine and young. Let it roll, mama, I'm feeling fine and young. Okay. Let it roll, mama, I'm feeling fine and young. How are we feeling out there? So I've been married for just over 3 years now. And cheer. Applaud, cheer. We got a ways to go, guys. But I got some good words of wisdom from a good friend of mine right before I got married, and he said, Nick, you just have to remember one thing. If you want to have a successful marriage, if you have a happy wife, you're going to have a happy life. So the this is a song about trying to do that. And a song about sometimes not doing that. And it goes out there to anybody that's, and this is not a heterosexual relationship only song, this is anybody that's trying to make their partner happy and sometimes failing. This is called Happy Life. It takes a lifetime to figure out the means to keep your love wild and alive, so it seems. And there's a few golden rules that God's bestowed upon us. It's engraved in the part of your brain where feelings come from. What's mine is yours, what's yours is yours. And good friends will tell you you've only got one shore. Happy wife, you've got a happy life. Don't forget it, you regret it, then you burn like the hellfire. I'm sorry, babe. Now you can't take the time for your lover's needs. You're sleeping on the couch tonight, or you're counting sheep. But there's a handbook you can reference to. Well, every man knows it, he just forgets what to do. And there's a few golden rules the God's bestowed upon us. It's engraved in the part of your brain where feelings come from. Well, what's mine is yours, what's yours is yours. Good friends will tell you you've only got one chore. And if you have a happy wife, well, you've got a happy life. Don't forget it, you regret it, then you burn like the hellfire. Don't forget it, you regret it, then you burn like the hellfire. Oh, now don't forget it, or else you regret it. Then you burn like the hellfire. Thank you so much. Freight train, you run so fast. Freight train, you run so fast. Please don't tell what train that I'm on, cause they will know which route that I've gone. When I'm dead and I'm in my grave, no more good times here. I crave placed on stones, my head and my feet. Tell them all that I've gone to sleep. Down at the end of Chestnut Street, so I can hear that on train number 9 as she rolls on by. When I die, won't you bury me deep down at the end of Chestnut Street? Place those stones on my head and my feet. Tell them all that I've gone to sleep. Freight train, won't you run so fast? Freight train, you run so fast. Just please don't tell what train that I'm on, 'cause they won't know which route that I've gone. 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 Who here likes the environment? It should be all of you. Well, I just observed, as a songwriter does, that when we have environmental issues, especially in this country, we tend to wait until the very last minute to do anything about it, if we do anything at all. So I wrote a sarcastic song about that. And it's called "I Suppose When We Stop Breathing," which is short for "I suppose when we stop breathing, maybe we'll think about these things." I'd like to dedicate this to my friend JJ, who's working his tail off out there doing amazing things for climate awareness. Yo, JJ, he's here tonight. I'd like to restart my brain, forget what's been said, hear new words and new names about how history remembers itself. Now who you gonna believe? Science or millionaires? Listen to the rich men banking on coal piles, preaching there's no need to care. Now it's just a bit of dirt and a Lord, it's a hot day without the shade of a tree. Now who would be left to love the mess? And if we all act like the rest, yeah, I suppose when we stop breathing, maybe we'll think about how we left things. Started up my car inside my garage, and I passed out for a couple of hours. I must have been thinking real hard. Cause I peeped into the future, and all I saw was a mirage. I guess the point my mind was making there was giving a damn about after I'm gone. God, it's just a bit of dirt and a lonely breeze. Lord, it's a hot day without the shade of a tree. Now who will be left to learn the mess? If we all act like the rest, well, I suppose when we stop breathing, maybe we'll think about how we left things. Now I suppose when we stop breathing, maybe we'll think about how we left things. Time for a couple more. Thank you guys so much. This is an absolute treat. This is my first big show in town since moving here. And so I put out my first album under my own name earlier this year in June. And It's been going really well since then. And then, as most artists know, once you release something, you're ready to release the next thing. Maybe that's just me, actually. I don't know. So now I'm working on a compilation of songs from my childhood that are mostly from classic Disney songs. And so I'm going to do you a little medley here of two of the tunes from that record. Take a bit of water first, just real quick. Robin Hood and Little John and walking through the forest, laughing back and forth at what the other has to say. Reminiscing this and that and having such a good time. Ooh lolly, golly, what a day. Ooh lolly, golly, what a day. Drinking and guzzled it down. Never dreaming that a scheming chef and his posse was watching them men gathering around. Robin Hood, Little John, walking through the forest, laughing back and forth at what the other has to say. Reminiscing this and that and having such a good time. Ooh-lolly, ooh-lolly, golly, what a day. Well, now, ooh-lolly, ooh-lolly, golly, what a day. Running through the forest, jumping past a thousand trees, trying to get away. Contemplating nothing but escaping, finally making it. Ooh lolly, ooh lolly, golly, what a day. Ooh lolly, ooh lolly, golly, what a day. Ooh lolly, ooh lolly, golly, what a day. And now, ooh lolly, ooh lolly, golly, what a day. I've reached the top and had to stop, but that's what's bothering me. I wanna be a man, man, cub, stroll right into town and be just like those other men. When I'm tired of monkeying around, yeah, doobie-doo, I wanna be like you. Yeah, I wanna walk like you, talk like you too. You see, it's true. Don't try to kid me, man, cub, or I'll make a deal with you. Cause what I desire is man's running fire to make my dreams come true. So give me that secret, man, cub, or no clue me on what to do. Give me the power, a man's running fly, so I can be like you. Yeah, zooby-doo, I wanna be like you. Lord, I wanna walk like you, talk like you. I'm the king that swings, babe, jungle VIP. I reached the top and had to stop, but that's what's bothering me. All right, I got one more too, and I'm going to bring out some of the fellows here. Bryce, Harry, and Dean, if you guys wouldn't want to come join me real quick for this last tune. Now we're going to do the classic Make Me Down a Pallet on Your Floor. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet something low. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Going up to the country where the cold sleet and snow. And up to the country where the cold sleet and snow. I'm going up to the country, cold sleet and snow. Ain't no telling how far that I may go. Yeah, now make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Baby, make me down a pallet something low. Make me down a pallet on your floor. All right, Bryce. Let my good girl catch you here. She might shoot you, cut you down and stomp you too. There ain't no telling just what she may do. Hey, now make me down and pout it on your floor. Make me down and pout it on your floor. Baby, make me down and pout something low. Take me down, pile it on the floor. All right, Harry. How about you, Dean? Thank y'all so much. Upstate is up next. Don't go nowhere.